Peace be unto you from God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we consider the third of the great old antiphons of Advent. There's a slight mistake in your bulletin. It is not the branch of Jesus, but it reads, O branch of Jesse, arising as a sign among the nations, before whom kings will keep silent, and to whom nations will call for help. Make haste to deliver us, and delay no longer. As I read this, I was reminded that the time is about up for me to accomplish the desire of a great many people, the great American novel. I have a file at home with various plots, and at one time did have an idea that maybe I would write a novel. Getting a little late. But I was intrigued by one plot which I must have thought up in the middle of some sleepless night. And it goes about like this, that the great-great-grandson of Chief Sitting Bull was uncovered one day in an obscure part of a reservation and ran for office and was elected and ultimately became the President of the United States and reorganized our entire legislative and judicial branch and became the leading spirit in the United Nations. And suddenly this obscure Indian prince from the stump of Sitting Bull was a great leader in the world to bring peace and prosperity. I remember saying nobody would believe that. It is absolutely incredible or naive. And yet I'm asking you to believe something greater than that. As in this antiphon, we reflect the promises that God has given us, particularly through the prophet Isaiah. O branch of Jesse. Is that naive? Who is this fellow Jesse? He wasn't even as great as Sitting Bull. Isn't this triumphalistic, or maybe naive, to say there will be a branch from the stump of Jesse? He will arise as a sign of the nations, and kings will shut up and listen when he comes in. And the nations will call to him for help. And we ask him, that one, to make haste to deliver us. And it seemed to me again, as I contemplated this entire 11th chapter of Isaiah, as it is summed up in this antiphon, that God is always a surprising God. We read the scriptures primarily to find out what God is up to and how he works. He works in certain ways with people in olden times, and since he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, his ways of working with men are applicable to us. And we see that our God surprises us in the weakness of the instrument he chooses to accomplish his purposes. A branch from the stump of Jesse. Jesse standing here for the Davidic dynasty, it is to last. For at that time when Isaiah wrote these words, Jesse and the whole Davidic dynasty were well on the way to becoming less than a stump. The nation of Judah was exhausted from the long Syro-Ephraimitic war, where the 10 northern tribes had banded together with Damascus, Syria, and had exhausted their resources. If that wasn't bad enough, they were totally demoralized by the reign of Ahaz, who dragged the entire nation down into the depths of immorality and turning away from God. In addition to that, they had had the appeal to Tiglath-Pileser, the Assyrian, to get them out of the clutches of the Damascenes, and they had to pay a heavy price for that. Well, Pileser came in and he said, I'll save you, but It's going to cost you, and he clamped the yoke of taxation heavily upon them. In addition to that, they were tested by Egypt, and we're told that the Lord used Egypt as flies to come and bite at them. They were on the verge of a war of a Babylonian captivity. That's the stump of Jesse that's going to be produce something that will be a sign among the nations. Anyone in his right mind, in either political, economic, and moral situation of the day, simply shook his head and said, wild dreamers. Nothing will come of it. And yet it was the same in the days of Christ. The branch was indeed insignificant. What good can come from Nazareth? What good are you going to get out of a cave in Bethlehem? The little child of an obscure couple, and he is to be the one now who will be a sign among the nations. Oh, the devil didn't like it. The devil was rather angry with Jesus that he didn't put up a big enough fight. He said, why don't you do something great? Why don't you jump down from the pinnacle of the temple? Why don't you turn stones into bread? Why don't you make all the people of the world bow down to you? Really put up a fight. How can I deal with someone who is so absolutely humble and unknown? A man who has never written a word, and a man who is unknown outside of his own country, a man who is humble and obscure. A branch indeed, a little twig, no mighty oak and splendor, bursting forth as Satan had suggested he should, and stunning the whole world with his mighty voice, like a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. The branch of Jesse finally came, and he was utterly ridiculous in terms of the world's splendor and might. But that's our God. He surprises us. And so too it has been with his church. It would conquer Hellenistic pride and the Roman might and power. Oh, would it, that little thing that was started there in Jerusalem, that most intelligent and learned people considered a wart on the pickle of progress, to be stomped out very quickly? We can get rid of these Christians. They are a nuisance around here. They give us all a bad conscience in the first place. And what are they among so many in the might of Rome? We'll get rid of them. It was to laugh again that this church was predicted to grow like a mustard seed which spread very quickly and in whose limbs and branches the birds would reach. But it did. It has ever been thus. God surprises us by using means that are lowly to bring to naught the things that are mighty. He's a surprising God. Paul caught on to this when he said, I guess what I've got to do is the foolishness of preaching. And what good is that going to do? To this day, they speak of preaching, the kind that you and I do or will be doing, as foolishness, as a waste of time, terribly boring. What could be more boring than a sermon? And what can you expect to accomplish by preaching? So he's a surprising God, but he is surprising also in that it happened. He prevailed. And the laughter subsided. And people's eyes open in wonder. The little twig from Jesse's stump has risen as a sign among the nations. And I think it is high time that we recognize this. That we be less pessimistic who pays attention to the church. Believe me, many people are paying attention to the church in nations all over the world. We're delighted to have some of our brethren from many parts of our world here studying with us. And you need to talk to them about things that are happening in Nigeria and in India and other parts of the world. It is not too late to say that our Lord Jesus Christ, the twig from Jesse's stump, is a sign among nations. And a sign to be reckoned with, indeed a stone of stumbling to many, but to be reckoned with by every human being in this world. Kings have kept silence before him, and they will again, either by committing themselves to him in faith or by finally recognizing that he is the King of kings. That no matter how great the men of this world become, the day will never come when they can avoid answering to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Nations have called upon him for help, and this is why we need to study church history, I believe, to understand what has gone on with this twig from the stump of Jesse. Beginning from the time of Emperor Constantine declaring Christianity the state religion and protecting it and guiding it. Not all of them, but kings and nations have called upon him for help. Many have died. For every moment that has passed since he walked this earth, there is at least one person who would lay down his life for him. And those who would do it this very day are counted in the millions. That little twig from the stump of Jesse indeed has become a sign among the nations. The fullness of the promises of Isaiah 11, a beautiful, incredible thing, that this twig from the stump of Jesse would bring about, first of all, the spiritual peace of his church, and ultimately the true peace of the eternal kingdom where the child can play at the mouth of the den of the poisonous serpent and be unhurt. Where true peace, the longing of all human hearts, shall prevail. That's our God for us. He starts out acting like a failure and choosing the dumbest of all instruments to do it, but he ends up by keeping his word. The application is that there is hope for us. Do not despise the little things of God, including ourselves. Do not despair and reach for human instrumentation. The preaching of the gospel won't do it. We may despair as Isaiah did when he said, "Oh Lord, who has believed our report?" It must be useless. We are tempted to underestimate our God and to say, "God, can't you do something bigger? Can't you get us involved in the power structures of this world so that we can spread Christianity?" And God says, "The little voice, the proclamation of the law and the gospel, day by day, working away at my program for humanity. Trust him." The three men in the fiery furnace left us a good example when they said, "We think our God is going to deliver us." And then those memorable words, "But even if he doesn't, even if he doesn't, we still commit ourselves to him." I think the lesson is this, that we respect God's ways of working, even though they may seem little, and we trust our surprising God to bring it to pass. That's good for preachers to know. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ unto life eternal. Amen.